करुणा सिंधु दीन बंधु जगत हसे गोपेश गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमस्ते तप्त कांचन गौरांगे राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी विश्वानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेमापदाय ते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्याय नाम्ने गौरकृते नमः वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यः कृपासिन्धुभ्यः च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते नाम्ने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे विशेषवादिपाश्चात्यादिकारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवाचार्य गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे।
हरे कृष्णा। Before beginning, I would like to beg forgiveness because I am not expert on this subject matter. So if there is any false truth in the conversation, then please forgive me. So we are reading from Canto 2 of Bhagavatam and Srila Sukhdev Goswami is talking to Parikshit Maharaj. Srila Sukhdev Goswami, he enters into Bhagavatam at the end of Canto 1, and Parikshit Maharaj is inquiring from Srila Sukhdev Goswami, and Canto 2 is the first time and Srila Sukhdev Goswami starts describing and answering these questions. And very interestingly, Parikshit Maharaj is a self-realized soul, and he's asking these questions very similar to Arjuna is asking questions in Bhagavad Gita. And another interesting fact is in Canto 2, when Srila Sukhdev Goswami starts speaking, the first verse he starts speaking is about Grahamedi, and he's talking to a self-realized devotee. So it's very, very interesting fact. Some of the lectures I heard is described that why he starts speaking about this to Parikshit Maharaj, starting with Grahamedi. Medi means jealous. So one who is a householder who is jealous of other householders, that is Grahamedi. And he started describing what how a life of a Grahamedi is, how people who are in the mode of who are engaged in material activities, how they behave. So Srila Sukhdev Goswami is describing here about materialistic people and how they waste their time in different material pursuits. So what we see here is Sukhdev Goswami as a acharya, he is very, very compassionate. He just doesn't want to, you know, leave all these people who are engaged into material activities as well. So he's describing to Parikshit Maharaj that how these people also can come to a platform where they can start their progress on self-realization, path of self-realization. So he is describing some of the things. In chapter 1, what we saw was Sukhdev Goswami was describing that how one can meditate on the Virat Rupa feature of the Lord, and how looking at this gigantic form of the Lord, one can slowly train the mind to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the reason he is describing in detail is masses of people, including myself, is not into this platform of devotion. So a lot of people don't understand about greatness of the Lord or surrender itself. And so Sukhdev Goswami is describing that for all these people, if you directly describe surrender to the Lord, what does it mean? Not many people are very much convinced of the presence of the Lord, and if they are convinced of presence of the Lord, then how do they surrender and why they should surrender? So Sukadeva Goswami, that's why he is describing that this is for everyone, that how they can slowly come to a platform of goodness. And so he is describing about Virat Rupa, and in different details he is describing how head and how the arms and the legs and different limbs of the Lord are related. We can see, and Srila Prabhupada actually gives a summary in just one word of this whole Virat Rupa, that's pantheism. This is a very important term which Srila Prabhupada introduces in this chapter, chapter 1, is where he's saying pantheism, like we buy all these cameras with panoramic view. The human eye is 180 degrees, we have vision. So what Srila Prabhupada is trying to say is we can see the presence of the Lord 180 degrees. Wherever we see, we should see the presence of the Lord. And that's why he is describing this Virat Rupa feature. So these people who don't want to directly surrender to the Lord can slowly look at presence of the Lord in day-to-day activities, look at the sun, look at the mountains. And that's what we were reading in Bhagavad Gita as well, is the Lord is describing that he is how he is best among everything. So this is what Sukadeva Goswami, that's why we heard a couple of lectures back also, how these two scriptures are very much related. So here he is describing about this Virat Rupa, and Srila Prabhupada nicely summarizes this in pantheistic vision of the Lord. Also Srila Prabhupada makes one more important point here, is once someone wants to surrender to the Lord and wants to come to this platform, the best part is how he should be in a service attitude. The service attitude is very important. If somebody is trying to surrender and there is no service attitude, he just wants to do it for the sake of gaining some knowledge, name, fame, adoration, which later on Sukadeva Goswami also describes in this chapter, then it's not going to benefit one. So Prabhupada stresses very heavily on service attitude should be there when he wants to surrender. And Sukadeva Goswami is describing is why somebody should be surrendering to the Lord, and what is the aim of life. And this he's describing on chapter 2 as well, and a lot of these details and why someone should lead what kind of life. And he's describing that this is Ante Narayan Smriti, that this is our aim of life, that at the end of our life we should remember Narayan. So this is what Prabhupada is stressing, remembering the Lord at the time of death. So going to chapter 2, which we are on right now, Srila Sukadeva Goswami. So this is very interesting that this first three chapters, Sukadeva Goswami is giving step by step on how people who are not on direct platform of devotion can still come to this platform slowly. First step is meditate on the Virat Rupa feature, pantheistic vision. And the second stage is describing how one should meditate on the Super Soul, Paramatma residing in our heart. And third chapter he is describing on how one can slowly come to this platform of devotion where he can start his path. So the second step which Srila Sukadeva Goswami is describing is about meditation on the Super Soul. The Super Soul is residing in our heart as Shirodakshaya Vishnu, and it's described in our Bhagavad Gita in 5.29 as well. It's Bhoktaram Yajya Tapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram Suhridam Sarva Bhutanam. So Suhridam, so he's staying in our heart and he's well-wishing friend of everyone. So this is what Sukadeva Goswami is describing about, that if one introspectively looks into the heart and meditates on the Super Soul, then he can realize the Super Soul. And then in the later part of the chapter, he is describing about how yogis, a lot of yogis, it's also in our sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, is how yogis meditate on the Super Soul. And they follow this ninefold mystic yoga system to slowly attain that platform of devotion by step, by doing pranayam, pratyahara, dhyan, and these different steps. So what Sukadeva Goswami is describing is after one is on this platform of Dhyan Yoga, and slowly how he should lead, all this path should lead to Bhakti Yoga, then it is a successful yogic practice. And we see a lot of these yoga centers around the world, and a lot of people are interested in yoga. And then when you say what is the eligibility, there's no eligibility. You can come after work, before work, anytime during the day. You can bring your girlfriend along, you can have beer along, there's no restriction. And that is what is modern day yoga is. So that is what Sukadeva Goswami is not describing about that yoga. He's describing about the yoga which should lead to bhakti. This kind of yoga is the real yoga. Yoga is our relationship with the Lord. This is what actual yoga is. But nowadays we see that yoga is a bit twisted just for, you know, have a healthy body, but forget about the soul. So in this chapter, previous verses, what Sukadeva Goswami is describing is, he's giving a very, very strong emphasis on detachment and how one should be able to try and do this detachment. And he's also describing that one should live with the bare minimum. And we recently have a lot of verses where Sukadeva Goswami is describing about, you know, when we have elbows, then why need of a pillow? That doesn't mean that we don't buy a pillow, but he's describing it. He's recommending this this positive step of God realization. Is the reason why this word positive is important is a lot of times we hear from impersonalist theories and other religious movements of how this detachment, this world is a negation of everything. So people go into that mode of negation. So here Sukadeva Goswami is describing about this positive aspect of self-realization. And how he is describing that how human form of life is meant for this God realization. And we should not put extra effort in material pursuits. Whatever we, whatever is the bare minimum necessity, we should put endeavor in that path only. And there are two reasons he gives, which is very good here. He's saying why Sukadeva Goswami is recommending that we should be with the bare minimum and utilize rest of our resources, our energy and time in God realization. He's giving two very nice reasons for that. One is the fault in surrounding oneself with material opulences. So when we have a lot of material opulences, there is a less chance of us, you know, getting this realization. We also see this in Kunti Mata's prayer in Canto 1, where she is describing, she is addressing to the Lord, Janma Aishwarya Shuta Sri Bhir Edamana Madhapuman Nevarhati Abhidatum Vai Samakinchan Gocharam. My Lord, your Lordship can easily be approached, but only by those who are materially exhausted. One who is on the path of material progress, trying to improve himself with respectable parentage, great opulence, high education and bodily beauty, cannot approach you with sincere feeling. So she is addressing to the Lord, describing about these four categories of people. If they are into this mode, then they can't approach the Lord. So Sukadeva Goswami is stressing on one of these reasons is why we can't surrender to the Lord. And the second one is there is a benefit. Sukadeva Goswami describes that there is a benefit of living simply and depending on the mercy of Krishna. And we see this again and again from Srila Prabhupada. It's a very famous statement he made, simple living and high thinking. So this is what Sukadeva Goswami is describing, and Prabhupada always stresses about living simply with bare minimum requirements and then spending most of our life and energy in Krishna consciousness. We also see about this the simple living and high thinking, and why lot of men, they are into this path of putting lot of efforts, which is over an extra effort in material pursuits, gaining so much wealth, getting a big car, getting big houses, lot of bank balances. And Srila Prabhupada has given us a very nice scripture, Ishobnishad, and where this verse is described about the Ishavasya principle. Ishavasya idam sarvam yat kinchya jagatam jagat yena tyaktena bhunjita Madhuda Tatse Svidhanam. So everything belongs to the Lord. That's where Srila Prabhupada is stressing this fact, and this scripture tells us these two things are related, that how everything belongs to the Lord, and Lord has arranged for the quota of everyone. So then why all of us try, a lot of people try that, you know, we should get extra quota. So there is this principle, I think, of all of us who are from India, you know, we have this quota system in government. Whether you want to go to a school or a college or a job, we have a separate quota for different classes. So we try to get as much as quota we can. So here Prabhupada is describing that the quota is assigned for everyone. And more or less, when a couple of years pass and in Krishna consciousness, we realize that, you know, Krishna has already arranged that this is what you are going to get. So there is no point trying to, you know, jump like a monkey in different branches and try to see what more we can get. So I think just 2-3 lectures back, Prabhuji was nicely describing about animals, how all their necessities are fulfilled. And I was hearing this lecture where somebody quoted a very nice small phrase from Gujarati, Chiti no kan, hati no man. That means an ant takes little bit grain, very small grain. An elephant takes tons of food, but Krishna has arranged for both. So ant can take this much food, it needs, that's its quota. And then an elephant needs tons of food, but Krishna has arranged for both. So properly, so according to their quota, Krishna has nicely arranged these. But we humans sometimes forget this whole principle of Ishavashya. And then we try to, you know, snatch someone else's quota. We want extra house, we want extra, slightly 1 inch of extra boundary if we can get from the neighbor, that's it. And that's what all the countries, we see a lot of wars, is because we can we get a little bit petrol extra, or a little bit oil, and this is what the quota thing, we forget about the quota. But Srila Prabhupada here says that doesn't mean that we should go back to the animalistic life, that we should go back and, you know, start wearing all those use banana leaves or stay in a forest, just take fruits only. We can do it on Ekadashi though, but not otherwise. So here Srila Prabhupada is describing nicely that human birth is rare, that it is a rare opportunity which we have in human birth to go into this path of self-realization. Animals don't have this great opportunity. So we also see from our Vaishnava Acharyas that this beautiful bhajan, Bhajahure mana sinanda nandana abhaya charana ravindare durlabha manava janama satsange durlabha manava janama satsange Sarahu e bhava sindhure. So Govinda Das Kaviraj Goswami says, O mind, just worship the lotus feet of son of Nanda Maharaj, which makes one fearless. Having obtained the rare human birth, cross over this ocean of worldly existence to the association of saintly persons. So Srila Prabhupada is saying, we should always carry on doing our prescribed duties which are assigned to us, and at the same time engage ourselves in the service of the Lord. But excessive effort should not be made after material opulences. We were discussing about this, how a lot of people waste their time, and including a lot of us also, myself. So we don't realize this time, kala, is very important. And then this wasting of time, it reminds me of one of the incidents, how people are, you know, they want to have a lot of happiness, and they would try so many things to get the happiness. It reminds me just about hair. I mean, all the possible combinations we can think about. We saw there is a park in Tokyo, and sometimes on Sundays people come there, and whatever possible colors of hair you can think, people will have it there. Purple, orange, fluorescent green, because they want to try something to get more and more happiness. There will be different styles, you know, hair going till the knee, or just one hair going till the back, or tied to the finger, different types. So this is about how people try to, you know, get happiness by trying different options. So then they don't get so happiness. Either they try a yellow color or a purple color. So Krishna has given a beautiful color to the hair, which is almost black, at least half the age. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, we also see Sukadeva Goswami, Suta Goswami is answering these questions of sages of Naimisharanya, and he is very nicely describing the same message. What he is saying is, Kamasya Nendriya Priti Labo Jiveta Yavata Jivasya Tatva Jigyasa Nato Yascheha Karmadhi. Life's desires should never be directed towards sense gratification. One should desire only a healthy life or self-preservation. Since a human being is meant for inquiry about the absolute truth, nothing else should be the goal of one's work. So here we see that Suta Goswami is describing what should be the aim of our life. And Srila Prabhupada also goes on describing is that the activities which we perform that do not lead us to this path of self-realization is Shrama Eva Hi Kevalam, is useless labor. So he's describing that how one should try and avoid this useless labor or activities which are not meant for self-realization, are not meant for surrendering to the Lord. We also see that this is a very important point in Bhagavad Gita which is related, and I personally found it was very relevant to our life and very nice realization. This is in 16.5 of Bhagavad Gita. Devi Sampad Vimokshaya Nibandaya Surimata Masucha Sampadam Devim Abhijato Asipandava. A human being is required to accumulate Devi Sampad or spiritual assets. Otherwise, the next alternative is Asuri Sampad or material assets will overcome him disproportionately. And thus, one will be forced into the entanglement of different miseries of material world. So basically, if we are not, so we can't be in between. We can't say I'll be on this boat and the other boat both together. The result is, if the boats go apart, we are horrible. So what Srila Prabhupada is describing here, and what Suta Goswami is pointing us to, if we are not on the path of self-realization, if you are not surrendering to the Lord, then you surrender to the Asuras. So that is Asuri Sampath. So once you are on Devi Sampath, this I heard a lecture from Guru Maharaj. He was very nicely describing about the relationship between soul and super soul. He was saying that soul, individual souls, and this is also in Bhagavad Gita chapter 13 about Kshetrajna. Kshetrajna is one who is knower of the field. Knower of the field. So he knows, super soul knows about everyone and all the souls. But the individual soul knows only about himself. So he made a very interesting statement that the soul can disagree, but the super souls cannot. So the souls within each of us can disagree on any point. But the super soul is common. It cannot disagree. But, and in relation to this, if more of our activities are towards God realization, towards surrendering onto the super soul, then all the super souls together, they know that the surrender is being made. So then the individual differences will slowly go away. So if everyone puts in effort to surrender to the super soul, then that can happen. So this was a very interesting point you were describing about soul and super soul relationship and how they can agree and disagree. Srila Jeev Goswami makes a very interesting comment as well in his very nice Bhakti Sandarbha. Rather it is Lord Hari, Krishna as Paramatma, who is worthy of our service and not this body. He is saying the use of this body is to serve the super soul, the Paramatma. If we are surrendering onto the super soul, then this body is useful. So the more we hear, the more we can internalize these teachings from Acharya. And here another point comes up, which is simply detachment is not going to help. With detachment, what needs to come is the attachment as well. Lot of lot of times we hear from materialistic theories, from impersonalist theories, that you know, this world is illusion. We have to get detached ourselves from it. So you know, if I am feeling, if there is food in front of me, I should look somewhere else, so that you know, I should not get attracted to the food. This is how there are a lot of theories. Which, how do you get this detachment artificially? You have to develop in yourself. So Prabhupada gives the example of this. It's something like a spring. You hold a spring for some days, you know, some hours, and then what happens? As soon as you leave, it comes back again. So the artificial detachment, that is the result of it. And so that is not good. It will just spring up again as soon as the opportunity comes. So detachment has to be followed by attachment to Krishna. So detachment from these material activities needs to supplement with attachment. Srila Prabhupada also in one of the lectures described one very nice statement, is that desires cannot be killed, desires cannot be stopped. The only thing we need to do is convert our material desires to spiritual desires, our material activities to spiritual activities. This is what Srila Prabhupada is giving us, a very nice way that you can't use that spring mechanism. We need to have, and he goes on describing how we should do that. So what we need to do is we need to transform our material consciousness into Krishna consciousness. And the more we associate with devotees and hear about Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and hear from acharyas and these scriptures, the more our heart is transformed. More and more we hear, the more our heart is transformed. It is a very nice mechanism, is that this process of chanting and hearing is something like our vacuum cleaner we have in our house. You just use a vacuum cleaner and all the dust is sucked in. And the process of Bhagavatam, hearing Bhagavatam, chanting, is we are just using our senses, material senses. We are using our eyes, we are using our ears, our mouth, chanting, we are using our fingers. And Krishna, he is helping us to clean our heart. So it's a very nice vacuum cleaner process. So now these set of verses, we'll discuss about these set of verses about how to meditate on the Lord in the heart. So simply by hearing Krishna Katha, gradually our heart is cleansed of the dirt present inside, and we slowly transcend these lower modes. He describes here how super soul looks. So the reason these set of verses are describing about how super soul looks, it's 8 inches and he has a club and all these descriptions, vivid descriptions are given, is so that we can visualize. We can't say the super soul is a light or it's a bulb or things like that. We can't have any ambiguous descriptions. So that's why these scriptures are giving details on how super soul looks, what's the size, and what he carries in the hand, what are the color of his garments, so that we can visualize, and then we can fix our minds. And these the today's verse is very, very interesting, because it's describing that not only the Lord as a super soul is transcendental, his garments, jewels, everything related to the Lord is transcendental, and they are also spiritual. It's described here that Lord's feet are placed on the lotus-like heart of a great devotee. So when we pray, you know, we are inviting the Lord in our heart. And then this is described here, that why there are minute descriptions mentioned in detail is so that we can focus on each limb of the Lord, on how he is standing, how his garments are, how does his headdress look. When we focus our minds on that, our focus on all the other material activities does not go. So then we can focus on lotus feet, the lotus itself, where his Lord is standing, what is in his hand. So if you start meditating on these, then our mind is gradually coming into Krishna consciousness. We are more and more meditating on the Lord rather than material activities. One interesting thing about this verse, and the reason I was reading in the verse 10, is about minute details, how scriptures can be very, very minute as well. It's not just a vague description. It's describing about this Kaustubha jewel, and it's describing about a picture of a calf which is on top of the jewel as well, which Lord wears on his chest. So this is a very nice description that Lord is we are seeing that, you know, that the calf is also there, and this description, when you see there is a calf, there is a costly jewel, so you can imagine how the Lord would be. Yesterday we were discussing with Gopikan Prabhu on this story of the pastime of Ramanujacharya, and a lot of us have heard this. The beauty of these pastimes is when we hear it 1,000 times and we hear it 1,001 times, still it's blissful. So this pastime goes like this, as Ramanujacharya was taking a procession in one of these towns, and there was loud chanting of the holy names, and while the procession was going on, Ramanujacharya, he saw there is this young man, very strong, well built, and he was doing some service, and the service was to hold an umbrella on one lady, and he was gazing upon her on the eyes, and because her eyes were very beautiful, and then he was so much engrossed in his service that he forgot about the procession and the loud chanting of the holy name. And the best part about acharyas, they are very, very compassionate. So Ramanujacharya saw that, and he looked at the young man and he called him, and he said, "What are you doing? This is a long procession going on. We are chanting the holy name for the Lord." And this young man went on describing that how beautiful the eyes of this lady is, and I can't move away my eyes from her. So Ramanujacharya mentioned that if I show you something which is more beautiful than this, will you agree to that? Would you be interested in seeing? So he said yes. So then he called him to the temple at the time of the aarti, and then the pujari was doing the aarti, offering a ghee lamp, and he was moving away from each limbs of the Lord, from the lotus feet to the navel and going up to the eyes. When he saw the eyes of the Lord, he got really mesmerized, and he mentioned to Ramanujacharya that he has never seen in his whole life such a beautiful thing. So then he surrendered to Ramanujacharya, and he became one of the disciples of Ramanujacharya, Dhanurdas. And Dhanurdas and that lady as well became Himangi Mataji. So this is very beautiful pastime on how the eyes of the Lord and how the limbs of the Lord are so beautiful. And that's why it describes when we worship from starting from the lotus feet and going on the lotus eyes. And Srila Prabhupada mentions that Canto 1 and Canto 2 are the Pada Padma. They are the lotus feet of the Lord. And a lot of these professional reciters, they just ignore the half of the body of the Lord, suddenly jump to the face, which is the 10th canto, and start describing about the Rasalila pastimes of the Lord. So Srila Prabhupada stresses in chapter 1 and 2 that those who have these material desires, they should focus on this Pada Padma and not directly jump on the face of the Lord. This descriptions given in our scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam are so nice that Maharaj Parikshit is requesting Shukadev Goswami to continue his narration of Srimad Bhagavatam so that he can focus his mind on the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. So he is describing this in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 8, Verse 6. Shranata Shraddhaya Nityam Granthascha Sva Chetitam Kalena Nati Dirgena Bhagavan Vishate Hridi. Persons who hear Srimad Bhagavatam regularly and are always taking the matter very seriously will have the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna manifested in their hearts within a short time. So we see here that Parikshit Maharaj is also, for meditation on the Lord, he is requesting Sukadev Goswami to narrate more and more. So this is what Prabhupada is describing, and Sukadev Goswami is describing, that by hearing is when we can focus our mind on the Lord. So hearing is one of the very important steps here. The sound incarnation of Lord Srimad Bhagavatam enters into the heart of a self-realized devotee, sits on a lotus flower of his loving relationship, and thus cleanses the dust of material association from his heart. And this is guaranteed in Canto 1 as well. Lord, wherever there are a lot of these verses and statements which Lord makes and a lot of devotees make, they give us a lot of faith and conviction in our devotional life. This is Tada rajastam obhava kama lobad adayasche chetar chetayeter anavidham sitadam sata pratidati. As soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire and hankering, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness and he becomes completely happy. So this is what Srimad Bhagavatam is telling us, that all these material hankerings will slowly, gradually go away if we take this Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam very, very seriously. This is a free gift, I would say. There is from this we realize that these devotees, lot of these devotees who are into this pure devotional platform, how they reach there is about hearing, about meditating on the Lord. And these pure devotees, they always carry, like last week we had Pushpa Gopal Prabhu very nicely describing us how these devotees, you know, tie some big rope inside the heart. And he was describing about Bilwa Mangal Thakur, and a lot of these devotees, we can learn from them that how to tie, how to bind Lord with love in the heart. So we hear, this is another first time from scriptures, we see that when Lord Ram, he attacked Lanka and he defeated Ravana and rescued Mother Sita, and they were coming back to Ayodhya. They invited Sugriva, Hanuman and Vibhishana to come to Ayodhya, and then there was a ceremony. So all of them came, and they were staying in Ayodhya for some time. And then Mother Sita, she felt that we should give some kind of as a gift, as a token of love to Hanumanji, who has done great service to Lord. And then, she requested the Lord, can we give him some token of love? So Lord, out of love, he gave a pearl necklace to Hanumanji. And Hanumanji and lot of other kings and everybody was present in the court. And Hanumanji received this pearl necklace and he started looking at it. He looked at it for a few seconds and then he started breaking each one of them with a stone. And this king asked him, Hanumanji, this is one of the most precious necklace. Why are you breaking it? And then he went on breaking it. He went on each pearl, he just broke away everything and started breaking each one of them, started opening and throwing away. So he said, not a sane man will do this. This is one of the most precious jewels and you are throwing away and breaking. Why are you doing that? So he's saying, I'm looking for Lord inside these pearl necklaces. If Lord is not there, then these are useless. So then someone asked him that why you are looking Lord in these pearl necklaces, you should look in your heart. So that's when he opened his heart and showed the picture of the image of Lord and Mother Sita inside the heart. So here we see that how these pure devotees, they bind Lord in the heart. In these set of verses also, Shukadev Goswami is telling one of Lord's magnanimous pastimes and glowing glancing of his smiling face are all indications of his extensive benediction. One must therefore concentrate on this transcendental form of the Lord as long as the mind can be fixed on him by meditation. This very the very important statement here is made by Srila Prabhupada, as long as the mind can be fixed on him. So Srila Prabhupada is trying to mention here that as long as the mind can be fixed, then you can achieve the next result. So basically what Prabhupada is saying, though, it's very, very important, is we should fix our mind. And why we cannot fix our mind? It's because our mind is full of a lot of dirt accumulated, you know, inside, it's built in for so many millions of lifetimes of these impressions we have carried in our subtle body. like this reminds me, Prabhupada is saying about this built-in. Nowadays, you know, we are all into built-in camera, built-in MP3, built-in everything. So this is built-in in our heart. We need to go out of this built-in mode, remove all these dirt, and then we can fix our mind. And material hankering in form of lust, recognition, adoration and profit. So Prabhupada is describing a level ahead. Is we go into this mode of adoration. We need this profit. So name, fame. And this prevents us from fixing our mind to the Lord. And Srila Prabhupada also helps us here by describing the stage of anartha nivritti, as how this process of devotional service is not just a lot of times we hear from people when we preach, when we talk, that this devotional path is sentimental path, where you know you artificially, like a lot of Babaji's we hear, they mention that you should artificially meditate on one of these manjaris which you were in your previous lifetime, and then after hearing more and more you will attain that platform at the end of this life, which may or may not be true. So this Prabhupada is describing that the scriptures give us this process, that it is a very very scientific process of this Adav Shuddha Tata Sadhu Sangh Bhajan Kriya Anartha Nivritti Ruchi Asakti Bhava and Prema. So this is the whole series on how one can attain this platform, rather than somebody artificially meditating. So for example, if somebody is not even on a devotional platform and we go and preach to him, you are this manjari in gopi last lifetime, start meditating on it day one, what will happen? It might not work, because Prabhupada has given this process that small faith, maybe we heard a kirtan, we did some seva, somebody asked us, can you put a box? That's okay, we put a box. Can you, you know, distribute these pamphlets? Anything, slowly. And this small faith, which is like tip of a hair, which develops, Adav Shraddha, very small faith. And then Sadhu San, and then looking at that, just like a child, when child tells a very nice poem, and what do parents do? Very nice, it was very nice poem, you should recite it one more time. So they encourage, same thing what Lord is doing. He sees that small faith, and the way he is encouraging is, he is giving a situation, he provides for a situation where we meet sadhu, so sadhu sangha. And then what do? We engage ourselves in bhajan kriya. And then that's what, after we do our bhajan kriya, we develop a ruchi, develop a taste. And that's where Prabhupada is describing the stage of anartha nivritti. So all our past sins will slowly go away, and all our material hankerings will slowly go away. And then we develop asakti. Asakti is like very very strong attachment, that the mind, the fate doesn't waver much. So you are very very strongly attached to do this. And then you slowly move to the platform, higher stages of pure devotional service of bhava and prema. Sometimes we hear a lot of incidents that about Prakriti Sahajiyas, where they try to describe about these glories of the Lord, about Rasalila pastimes they enact, and they go into this rolling on the ground, you know, crying, tears will flow down, and then somebody will feel, when will I have this feeling? But then at the next moment you will find the same person on a tea stall drinking a nice tea. And then you will think, you know, what kind of this bhava and prema is. So Prabhupada describes and warns us about these different Prakriti Sahajiyas and professional researchers. And about this detachment, Prabhupada says that we should not be trying this artificially. Like there is this story. Sometimes it's described that when there is a small pot and there is a banana inside, and a monkey who is very much eager to get that banana puts his hand in, forgetting that he might not be able to take his hand out. So then he tries to, you know, juggle with the banana. He doesn't want to leave the banana. If he leaves the banana, he can get his hand out, but he doesn't want to do that. So then Prabhupada says, we don't have to be artificial, and you know, you want to grab the banana, but you know, you want your hand out as well. So both things is not possible. So that this is what is describing, that when we surrender unto the Lord, when we surrender unto Vasudev, we get these two freebies, you know, Jnana and Vairagya. this is outcome of that. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayati Asu Vairagyam Jnanam Cha Yatahetukam. By rendering devotional service unto the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna, one immediately acquires causeless knowledge and detachment from the world. The mind cannot be focused on super soul in the heart unless and until these impurities are retired. So Srila Prabhupada, I think we discussed earlier, Srila Prabhupada describes that this process of meditation should begin from the lotus feet of the Lord, Pada Padma, or the first and the second cantos, and it should slowly progress to the smiling face of the Lord. And the meditation should be concentrated upon the more the mind becomes fixed on the different parts of the limb, one after another, the more the intelligence becomes purified. So this is this process of, Prabhupada has given us this process of deity worship. This deity worship process is described for grihasthas, is recommended for grihasthas. They should definitely take this process of worship on how, when we try to, you know, move incense in front of the Lord, right from the lotus feet to the face, then you do the lamp, then chamar, then flowers. So this process of whole deity worship is described so that we fix our mind on the Lord. And whenever there is deity in the house, then the focus of the family or the focus of the whole ashram is on the deity. So satisfying the deity for the pleasure of the deity. All the activities are done for the pleasure of the deity. So Srila Prabhupada has nicely introduced us to this process of devotional service. So what we see here is that we should not be artificially meditating on the Lord. We should be focusing introspectively. Prabhupada has given this practical process of how we should chant and hear Bhagavatam. That will result in this process. In one of the lectures in Los Angeles in 1968, Prabhupada mentions about how to love God and develop God consciousness. The whole problems of the world can be solved only by this movement. How to love God? They do not know what is the solution of world problems. Srila Prabhupada quotes here, Na te vidusvar tagatim hi Vishnu durasya ye bahirartha manina andha yathandher upanaya manas tepi satantram purudam nibaddha. This is from Canto 7, text chapter 5, verse 31. Just like a blind man is leading other blind men. So Prabhupada says, just like a blind man is leading other blind men, what he will do? If a blind man says, come on, I will help you, come along with me, I shall cross the road with you. What is the benefit of such assurance? So he is blind himself. So Prabhupada is describing about lot of these, we see lot of these religious movements where people, a lot of common men, they want to surrender to the Lord. But the process is you do some pranayama, you do some breathing control and slowly you will realize the Lord. Or some processes like where you use water to, you know, meditate. So there are a lot of these different processes which take a lot of time and not everybody can follow it or follow it properly. So they follow it for the sake of following it. So he's describing that a lot of these leaders of spiritual movement, they should not be, so people should not be following it blindly. And he goes on to say, he's describing about blindness, how we see it in different leaders. So maybe religious leaders or leaders of the country or movement. He's describing, therefore, we see in spite of so much endeavor in the United Nations, for the last 20 or 25 years, but there is no solution. He says simply the flags are increasing. So that of becoming united, the flags are increasing. Srila Prabhupada says, I have a practical experience. Now India has become independent. So everyone is happy. So India was one before. Now they change it to two, Pakistan and India. So he is describing about the United Nations. They seem to unite, but then a lot of flags are increasing. So we can think about how the unity is. And gradually, so Prabhupada says, so now there are two. There are, before there was one flag, now there are two. And gradually it will increase to four and six. So he's describing about these movements and about leadership. This also applies in our spiritual path as well, is how when we are blindly following, then the path of self-realization maybe cannot be achieved. So Prabhupada has given us this nice process of chanting and hearing the Bhagavatam, and chanting regularly will help us to fix our mind on the lotus feet of the Lord, and gradually we'll realize, and as we saw from the scriptures, that gradually this image, gradually that presence of the Lord will realize, and slowly we can surrender more. So also what Sukhdev Goswami is describing in the chapters in this chapter in the following verses is about more and more descriptions about the super soul, and also he is describing about how this yogic process, when one slowly follows this yogic process, how he should leave the body, how he can leave, you know, following the yogic process, how the life air should be should transform, and then lead to different platform. Hare Krishna. Are there any comments, feedbacks? Are there any questions? Senior devotee. We have Prabhuji from.
Thank you, Prabhu, for the nice class. The pastime that you were narrating, Prabhu, on Hanumanji was really nice. And actually it emphasizes the fact here in the translation. Prabhupada writes about all the Lord's garments and the saffron, kadamba flower, the valuable jewels which actually decorate the Lord's body. But out of nowhere, this verse says that his lotus feet are placed over the holes of the lotus-like hearts of great mystics. This is really nice in the sense that the Lord's lotus feet, you know, this decoration of the Lord's lotus feet is exclusively reserved as the hearts of the pure devotees. It is not any flower or any jewel, but the lotus feet, which is like considered to be the mercy aspect of the Lord, the most important part of the Lord, is actually reserved for the heart of the great mystics who are the pure devotees. And Prabhupada brings it one level further. He says that the ornament, flowers, clothing, and all the other decorations on the transcendental body of the personality of Godhead are identical with the body of the Lord. So Prabhupada says that since the heart is the decoration of the Lord's feet, the heart of the pure devotee is identical with the body of the Lord. And I remember this purport that Prabhupada wrote in that chapter where Jaya and Vijay are cursed by the Sanat Kumaras, when the Lord comes out and he willingly says that I will chop off my hands. That verse, Prabhupada writes in the purport that any offences committed at the lotus feet of the devotee leaves a scar on the body of the Lord. So this is really practical to this verse in the sense that the heart of the pure devotee is actually a decoration on the body of the Lord, which is identical with the body of the Lord. So by offending the devotees in any way, we are saying that we want to go towards the Lord. I love you, Lord. But then we actually offending the devotees. So actually saying that we're actually saying that I love you, Lord, but we're actually beating the Lord. We're actually leaving scars on his body, and we're actually saying that, you know, I love you. So offending the devotee and praying to the Lord is actually a hypocritical process. By only respecting the devotees and praying to the Lord, then the process becomes complete. So just this point, Prabhu.
Prabhuji, this is a really nice point Madhumumpu brought up also. I was looking at the purport to the second verse that you read to us, and this links up to what Prabhupada is saying here, because Prabhupada makes the difference between material ingredients as opposed to spiritual ingredients. And Prabhupada writes here that spiritual varieties are also distinguished from material variegatedness. In material world, whenever we we say that everyone agrees to disagree, it is very often a diplomatic statement. But the truth of the matter is, while we may agree to disagree on a theoretical plane, on a practical plane, we translate that into fighting. So that very often happens in the material world. But Prabhupada hints here, and it's very nicely stated here, because as Mother Moon Prabhu pointed out nicely, there is an intimate connection between the great mystics, who are the great devotees of the Lord, and the Lord's lotus feet. And it follows then in the purport that if we understand that the material is different from the spiritual nature, then the devotees who are settled at the lotus feet of the Lord, even though they may come across as individuals, because as you stated so nicely, that we are all different, and the Lord is the common denominator as the super soul, still that spiritual variety is not to be is not to be likened to the material variety. I like there's a statement in the fourth canto, it is in 30th chapter. Prachetas have just chanted prayers to the Lord, and they have come before the Lord, and they then came together, and they cooperated very nicely. And after many years of cooperating nicely in devotional service, the Lord appeared before them. So then the Lord stated to them that he was very pleased with the fact that they were cooperating to try and render devotional service to them. And then in the purport, it is in 4th canto, 30th chapter, 8th verse. I just want to read the purport, because the purport makes good sense in the sense of spiritual variety, especially for devotees. Prabhupada writes here that since the sons, that's the Prachetas, were all united in Krishna consciousness, the Lord was very pleased with them. Each and every one of the sons was an individual soul, but they were united in offering transcendental service to the Lord. The unity of the individual souls attempting to satisfy the Supreme Lord is real unity. And this is what you were mentioning about United Nations. In the material world, such unity is not possible. This is material variegatedness. Even though people may officially unite, they all have different interests. In the United Nations, for instance, all the nations have their particular national ambitions, and consequently, they cannot be united. This unity between individual souls is so strong within this material world, and this is important to us, that even in a society of Krishna consciousness, members sometimes appear disunited due to their having different opinions and leaning towards material things. So if we bring our material baggage into spiritual life, we will become disunited. Actually, in Krishna consciousness, this is wonderful, there cannot be two opinions. There is only one goal, to serve Krishna to one's best ability. And this is very nice, Prabhupada writes. If there is some disagreement over service, which happens very often, such disagreement is to be taken as spiritual. Very powerful statement. If there is some disagreement over service, such disagreement is to be taken as spiritual. So we don't jump on each other and fight. We understand that that disagreement is coming because of our love for service, and we should not take it personally and take it on a material plane. And then Prabhupada writes, those who are actually engaged in the service of the Lord cannot be disunited in any circumstances. So it may appear to be, but like you so correctly stated, Prabhu, that if we are really, really trying to serve Krishna, then, and Krishna being personal, then each of our individual service is not actually an individual service. It is united in the common front. And this is the meaning of spiritual variegatedness. This makes the Supreme Personality of Godhead very happy and willing to award all kinds of benedictions to his devotees as indicated in this verse. So just wanted to share this point that Prabhupada states in the last line of his purport. Thank you, Prabhupada.
Thank you for such a nice class. There are many points coming from your class over here. The first point which you mentioned, Prabhu, that in when we are taking to devotional service, then we have still some attachments to material world, and then at a point we are stepping into two boats. You mentioned that, you know, when the boats go apart, then there is fall down, Actually, Prabhupada mentions the same point in the Abhiched Sudhuracharya verse, that in the conditioned life, a devotee who is taking to conditioned life has two activities. One is the conditioned activity and the other is the devotional service. And actually, I'll just read what Prabhupada says over here. Okay, now in the conditioned state, sometimes devotional service and conditioned service in relation to the body will be parallel to one another. But then again, sometimes these activities become opposed to one another. As far as possible, a devotee is very cautious so that he does not do anything that disrupts his wholesome condition. Actually, what Prabhupada is saying, that as long as possible, a devotee tries to maintain these two activities parallel to one another, that they are supportive and, you know, even though, actually, using your own example, that even though he is stepping on two boats at one time, he tries to maintain that these two boats go parallel to one another. But sometimes when these two boats are opposed to one another, then there is a fall. Then there is a fall. So this is the same thing which is mentioned in one sense. another point, Prabhuji, which you mentioned, that, you know, the devotee tries to invite, in your lecture you said that devotee tries to invite the Lord in his heart. But how do you understand it actually? Because as such, the Lord is present in everyone's heart actually. So what is the process of invitation? Because he's already present. And it is also said that the way the devotees make Tirtha Purvanti Tirthani, that means they make any place a place of pilgrimage because they are carrying the Lord in their heart. You know, but actually Lord is always present in everyone's heart. So why it is specifically said that the devotees carry the Lord in their heart actually? Because he's actually present in everyone's heart.
I want to mention about caring in the heart. Is Krishna is there in everyone's heart, seated in everyone's heart. Is about manifestation of the Lord. It appears more and more. Somebody realizes the presence of the Lord, then he manifests himself fully. So he's there in the Krishna consciousness is there in everyone's heart. It's at a dormant stage. So when someone starts worshipping the Lord in this process of chanting, then slowly Krishna manifests fully. So this is what manifestation is, the only difference. Is fully manifested or in a dormant stage is what I think. Means you realize presence of the God. So a lot of us, we know Krishna is there in the heart. But how many of us, when we try to practice, slowly that manifestation is there, that the presence is actually there. There is a difference between the theoretical knowledge of Krishna present there and how when we see the actual presence in our day-to-day activities or in our chanting in terms of meditation. That is the actual manifestation, I think.
Prabhupada refers to this as Cheto Darpanam Arjunam. Krishna is already in the heart and he has been in the heart. That is why we are living actually. Because if Lord is not infusing himself in any living being, then there is no life actually. But it's like a husband who takes his wife for granted for 20 years, but never took, in the first year he is not taking her for granted, so he can understand her quite well, or he loves her very much. But after a while, you know, he takes it for granted that someone is in the house. She's cooking, she's cleaning, she's taking care of the children. Then one day if she leaves, or something happens, then he may realize, oh, she's there, but I've just taken her for granted all this time. So that's the difference between presence and manifestation. Someone may be present with you all the time, but if you don't pay attention to that person, then the manifestation does not occur. But the moment the attention is there, then the attention turns into attraction, and automatically between the attention and attraction, there is manifestation. So that is why the process of devotional service is cleansing of the heart. It's like Prabhuji said, there's a vacuum cleaner. You know, supposing you're trying to find an object in a house full of dust. Object is present already, but you have to clear the dust before you actually see the object manifesting itself in the house. So object is powerful, nothing has happened to the properties of the object, but the fault is on our side because we have kept the house in a bad condition. If the house is in clean condition, the object manifestation is very clear for us to benefit from. So that is why manifestation and presence is very different. Lord is present in our heart. He's in the heart of the thief. He's in the heart of the devotee. But the only difference is devotee has not taken him for granted. But thief has taken for granted that he is in the heart or something is in the heart. So the difference is actually in the way we are approaching Krishna. There's another example, it skips my mind. What is it? I can't remember now. But I think this is the main point that is being put forward. Ah, yes. The other point is that supposing, for example, tomorrow is your mother's birthday and you are a 5-year-old boy. You don't have capacity to buy anything for your mother. But you go to mother and say, I want to buy you a present. So then mother gives you money. You go and buy the present and give it to mother. So it looks like an artificial arrangement. But because of your effort in recognizing the presence of your mother in your life, even though mother gave you something which actually belongs to her, mother becomes very pleased because of your effort. When you make such an effort in the presence of your mother, then your mother becomes manifested to you. Because then her importance in your life increases. She can wait till you're 21 years old to earn your own money and buy her something. But she won't, because you are making an effort towards her. So if we make an effort towards Krishna through the process of understanding His beautiful form, then He begins to manifest Himself in our hearts through the process in the platform of devotional service. Is that okay for you?
Hare Krishna. Dakinananda Prabhuji very nicely elaborated this point that Cheto Darpan Marjanam, because our heart is over years, you know, accumulated this dust of material desire, hankering and lust. So even the super soul, the Supreme Lord is present in the heart, but it is not available to non-devotees. What to speak of non-devotees, even devotees, if we are overpowered by material desires and hankering, which might be flickering, we experience that sometime, you know, we, you know, overpowered and again we come back to Krishna, if this oscillation goes on. So that point of time, you know, super soul is not available. Let us hear from Lord Brahma himself, the first son of the Supreme Lord, and then one of the Ishwara himself. This point very nicely relates to a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, where Lord Brahmaji, you know, prayed to Supreme Lord for creative energy. And this verse is very nicely explaining what to speak of non-devotees, even the demigods, they are the devotees. And then when overpowered by material desires, even they do worship very nicely, pompously, but the Supreme Lord is not available. So this verse goes like this. Nati prasid, nati prasidati tathop chitop chare aradita surganar hidbad kame yat sarva bhut hride dayasad labde yeko nana janesu avahitam sruhidantaratma. Nati prasidati tathop chitop chare. Demigods, they worship Supreme Lord very pompously, very elaborate worship. But nati prasidati tathop chitop chare aradita surgana hridbadh kame aradita surgana. This devata, you know, worship, aradita, you know, Supreme Lord, very pompously. But still, Supreme Lord, nati prasidati tathopachito upachara, he is not available to them because their heart is full of material desire. In heaven, though there is a devotion, but there is mutual competition. When we read Srimad Bhagavatam, there are various episodes, and then their leader himself, Lord Indra, many times get entangled, very nice episodes. One of them very famous is the Pitru Maharaj, you know, he got entangled, many, many more. And then one was directly, you know, he encountered with the Supreme Lord during this Govardhan Leela. And there was one more direct encounter that when Supreme Lord went to Swargaloka and then he took the Parijata tree. He came for battle, you know. So such is the, you know, though he knows that, you know, he's Supreme Lord is present in heaven as a Vaman Dev and he's worshipped very nicely. And he appears as Mother Atiti's son. In a way, you know, his younger brother. But when it comes to material desire, you know, he fought, the Lord Indra fought with the Supreme Lord for Parijata flower, you know. I mean, everything belongs to the Supreme Lord. And when they worship the Lord, they worship Lord Supreme Lord with the Purushukta. Then they describe that everything, this part is belongs to Lord, that part is belongs to the Lord, eyes is sun, this, that. But eventually knowing all this thing, material desire is so powerful that, you know, they can go against the Lord. So, Aradita Surganar Ridibadda Kame Nana Janesh Abhisam Truhit Dantaratma. No, sorry. Yat Sarva Bhut Ridayasad Alabhe Eko. So now he's describing another class of personalities who are, devatas are like devotees, you know. And then there is another class of personalities which are non-devotees. Even he is present in devata's heart, non-devotees, but he is not available to them because of ignorance and then so much material desire hankering. But yat bhuta sarva daya hrid alabhe ko nana janesu avahitam sruhidan taratma. But he becomes readily available to devotees who are surrendered to the lotus feet of the Lord. Same Lord, he is present in non-devotees, and then there is another class of devotees who has little material desire, and then there is a further class of devotee who has no material desire, who has surrendered to the Supreme Lord. So because of this surrender to the Supreme Lord, so bona fide devotee, he makes this easily available. Though he is present in everyone's heart, but he is not available to non-devotees who is in gross ignorance or full of material desire. But there comes another class of people who are devotees. They are doing, you know, devotion in a way, kind of appears like that devotion in a way like show or whatever you can call it, not full of heart. And because they are not pure, so what happens? That he is not available to them also in a way. And why he is available to the another class of people who are simple-hearted devotees? They have surrendered to the Supreme Lord's devotees. And then their heart is being cleansed by bona fide hearing. And it is also mentioned in the same, Brahmaji is mentioning that how a devotee invites Supreme Lord in the heart, because by bona fide hearing his heart is cleansed. And when place is clean, then you invite a person, you know, now you come and be seated. And same Brahmaji is further saying, you know, his all these things are link is very nice verse. This very wonderful verse which goes like this. Etu tadi charanambuj kosha gandham jigranti kand vibhray srutivatinitam bhaktya grihit charana paryachite sham napay sinath hridyam uruhas pumsam. Then further it goes. Svam bhakti yoga paribhavit ritsaroja ase sutechit patho nanunatha pumsam yadyadhyat urugai vibhavayanti tattad vapu pranayase sadanu grahaya etu tvadiya charanambuj kosha gandham. When we, how this invitation process happens and how Supreme Lord can be invited in heart, there is a process. When you hear from a pure bona fide devotee of the Lord, who himself is carrying Supreme Lord within the heart, so what happens? The Vedic, when the aroma of the Vedic sounds, Vedic verses, hear in our ear. Etu tvadiya charanambuj kosha gandham jigranti kand vibhray srutivatinitam. So what happens? Aroma of the lotus feet of the Lord, you know, when this fragrance appears by recitation of Vedic hymns,
from the pure list of the devotees, when enters in our ears, Jigrant Kand Vibhray Srutivat Neetam. Jigrant, you know, very very interesting thing. This aroma is smelled by ear. You know, generally the function of nose is to smell. But here in the, what Srimad Bhagavatam, the Brahmaji is telling in Tenth Canto, that ear is smelling, you know. And then what happens? It cleans the heart. Jigrant Kand Vibhray Srutivat Neetam. Bhaktya grihita charna parya chatesham napay sinat hridyam uruhat pumsam. By this bona fide hearing, the heart becomes cleansed, and then what happens? And the lotus of the heart, very beautiful, the Krishna gets seated. And then further verse, Svam bhakti yoga paribhavita hissaroja ase srute chitpato nanunat pumsam. Actually, this was one of my offering to His Holiness Mahavishnu Goswami Maharaj. This is Vyas Puja. So it's further telling, when you are from a pure devotee, Guru Maharaj, then Krishna becomes permanently seated in that, you know, it's not flickering one, that lotus, you know. He perfectly gets seated, and in one of the eternal form, not necessarily Krishna form. It could be in Ram's form, it could be Nrisimha's form, it could be Vishnu form, it could be Matsya form, in case of, you know, Satyavrata king, you know, 8th canto. So different devotees bhava, that Krishna, that eternal form, you know, makes it six. Svam bhakti yoga paribhavita risaroja ase srute chit, sutekchita. That's how one of the devotees means. Ase sutekchitito nanunat pumsam yadyad dhiyat urugai vibhavan yanti. Urugai is the one who is faced with transcendental source. Songs, and another meaning is that whose activities are uncommon. Yadyadhyat urgay vibhavayanti tattad vapu pranayase sadhanugrahaya. Meaning that based on his bhava, Krishna gets permanently seated in that particular eternal form, and then he is completely fixed in, you know. So this is what Brahmaji is telling, and it's gradual process. It takes over years. Sometimes it could be lifetime. So for our level is very difficult to understand. So for our level is just to hear a person who has realized, in case of our Srila Prabhupada and his wonderful disciple. And then time will come, some point of time, that at least we'll get some flickering glimpse. Prabhuji often quotes, I think I have one verse, yes Prabhu, I'm amending. One verse that Krishna walks in verses, you know. So sometime over a period of our devotional practice, when we have in after Mangal Aarti, when we recite some verses, we really feel that presence of the Lord. And how we feel the presence of the Lord, that's preliminary state, that we feel very happy. At least that moment of time, that we are free from hankering, lamentation and illusion. All glories to Lord Brahma and all glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki,